So we're going to talk about the Lamb has overcome today. Amen. Are you excited about the time we have set aside to celebrate the resurrection? Amen. Jesus was born in a manger. He grew up all God, all man. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He multiplied food. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. But at the appropriate time, he went to a cross and he became sin who knew no sin. He took all your sickness and all your disease. He became poor. And so the Bible says that on that day when he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And he became sin. And then the Bible says that he went into the bowels of hell, but on the third day, hallelujah, he was raised from the dead. Put his blood on the mercy seat and sat down. And we celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate Jesus our Savior, raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. Hallelujah. But because you have believed on him, he's not the only one that was raised from the dead. You were raised up together with him. The Bible says in the greatest display of power ever, God reached into hell, pulled Jesus up, and everybody else that would ever believe. Amen. He raised us all up. He raised us all up. He raised us all up. So happy Easter. Glory to God. Happy Resurrection Day to everybody. It's good. Come on, it's good to be alive. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today. I ask you to think through my mind, speak through my lips. Believe I speak as the oracle of God. I pray for every person in this room that they would have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that would understand. Anybody watching, Father, I pray that their lives will be changed today as we celebrate the resurrection of your only begotten, our Savior, our elder brother, our hero. We love you. We honor you in this place. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You can have a seat. Glory to God. Thank God for his resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. So as we celebrate the overcoming Lamb today, we're going to look at some things. And so as you're getting ready, we're going to turn to John chapter 10. So thank God for the ability to celebrate the resurrection. And we were talking about some things on Wednesday night, and we took communion. And I've been studying Wednesday night. We've been looking at the Gospel of John. So I want to look at this, and I want you to know today how important this part is. No man took Jesus' life, but he willingly gave it. No man took Jesus' life, but he willingly gave it. And I was recovering after I got home from my trip from Nepal, and I was listening to some things, and I was meditating and believing God for healing for my body and just restoration and resting. And I was listening to some things, and I'd already been meditating because of Wednesday night, preaching, getting ready to preach on out of John chapter 19 about the scourging of Jesus and as him a lamb to the slaughter. And just the Lord, the Holy Ghost reminding me of how important it was that no one took Jesus' life. In John chapter 18, remember when Judas betrayed him, the soldiers all came and they asked him, they said, Jesus asked them, says, "Who do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And what did Jesus answer? Everybody say, "I am." And what happened to the soldiers? They fell out, right? They didn't fall out in fear. They fell out in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so as he waited for them to pick themselves back up, what was the point of him doing that? It is so important for you to understand. Jesus willingly laid his life down for you. No man took his life, but he gave it. And we're going to look ahead a little bit, but he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The word of God became flesh, and he decided. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God the Father said to the serpent, said to Adam and Eve, he's like, "Okay, I've got a plan." Aren't you glad Jesus was in on the plan? And he said, there's going to come a seed from this woman, and you may bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, it was important for you to understand. It's important for me to understand. And it's just really so strong in my heart that no one took his life. He laid it down willingly. He got it settled in the garden. As he sweat great drops of blood, he got it settled that he was going to do this for you and for me. And so I want you to look at John chapter 10. We're going to look in the Amplified Version of the Bible, verses 17 and 18. John chapter 10, verse 17. It says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my own life and to take it back again. Verse 18. No one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down voluntarily. I put it far from me, from myself. I am authorized and I have the power to lay it down, to resign it, and I am authorized and have the power to take it back again. These are the instructions or the orders which I have received as a charge from my Father. And so he was not only able to lay down his physical life, but also to put the life of God on hold. And then he said, I'm also authorized to pick it back up again. Aren't you glad he was authorized to put it down? But he's also authorized to pick it back up again. He did this for us. But what I want you to get to see here is he said once again, no man takes my life, I willingly give it. In other words, no one was forcing this on Jesus, the Word of God, your Savior, your Master, the one who created all things, was willing to lay down his life that you and I could go free. He was willing to do this. Are you grateful for that this morning? John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. Here we are, Pilate is talking to Jesus, and he's giving him the opportunity to get out of this, because he had realized that, I don't know that I want to be involved in all this, and I'm going to give him the opportunity to get out of it. And he said, because Pilate said this to him, why don't you talk to me? Don't you realize that I have power to release you or to crucify you? And then Jesus answered him and said this, you don't have any power over me at all unless it was given to you from above. So the one who handed me over has the greater sin. In other words, don't worry about it. You're off the hook. They who delivered, they've got the greater sin, because he was all worried about it, because he's like, he was trying to get Jesus to bite. I'd like to, give me something I can let you go. Because I have power to let you go. And Jesus had already made up his mind. There was no going. He was the Lamb of God. His body was fashioned for a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. Are you grateful to understand that Jesus willingly, as the Lamb of God, decided to lay down his life for you? He who knew no sin became sin so that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I was thinking about this in Matthew 26. Remember, thank God for Peter. Peter is a movie in himself, waiting to happen all the time. I just love Peter. Because here Peter, the fisherman, comes, and he knows they're coming for Jesus, so he borrows a sword from somebody. And remember, he gets to whacking, and he's trying to cut off Malchus's head and gets his ear, and remember, Jesus put it back on. And so here in Matthew 26, start at verse 52. Then Jesus said, he's talking to Peter, put up your sword. Put it back in its place. You're going to hurt somebody. Put it up. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot right now, right at this second, I could pray, because I wish he'd have been like, the prophet saying, Lord, open his eyes, that he would see there's war more with me than against me. Because I guarantee you, the angels in heaven were standing at attention. Because he said, don't you think that right now I could pray to the Father and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? I want you to understand that Jesus willingly laid his life down. Now, see, some of you, when you look at that, you just look over it. But the math guy in me, the accountant guy in me, I want to know these things. And so, thank God, my friend Rick Renner, I call him my friend. I've never met him, but one day me and him are going to be really good friends. My friend Rick Renner, he figured this out for me, because my question was, well, what's a legion? And so he studied this out, and he said in that time, a legion was, the minimum a legion was 6,000 men. And remember, look at the verbiage. I could not presently, right now, I could call more than 12 legions of angels. Now, come on, you got to be a math guy. You got to be a math girl. And so if a legion is 6,000, then 12 of them is what? 72,000. I could presently call at the minimum 72,000 angels. Well, then my mind goes to, okay, how much damage could them angels do? And so Rick, and I thank God for Rick, my friend. Rick then looks this scripture up, and in Isaiah 37, 36, it talks about an angel. And in that one angel took care of 185,000 men all by himself. One angel, 185,000 dudes, gone. One angel. So then my mind begins to think again. How many could 12 legions of angels get rid of? Jesus could presently call more than. So this is what you got to do. Then you got to think of one legion of angels, that's 6,000 angels with swords drawn, and the other 11 legions hanging out in the back. Just watching, wishing they could get involved in the fray. One legion could take care of 1 billion people. And I don't know, at that time there were 1 billion people. My point is this. If Jesus would have wanted to, he could have wiped out mankind because of what mankind was doing to him. But you see, it was the plan of God. He willingly did this. I just wanted you to see the power at his disposal. If he wanted to, he said, look, Peter, if I wanted to, I could presently call more than 12 legions of angels. I could presently call for more than 72,000 angels. And one angel is good enough to handle the hill. In other words, I could get out of this if I want to. This is the plan of God. This is the plan of God. God decided, Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, decided, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. This is the only way that I can get you back, and I'm willing to do this for you. And I want you to see that he could have opened his mouth. So we were talking about this Wednesday. So let's go back at Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. I want you to see this, that Jesus could have stopped everything. You say, why are you making such a big deal about this? Because I want you to feel and sense the preciousness, the importance that you have in God. I want you to know that he on purpose wanted you. He on purpose wanted me. And if he did what he did for me, then I want to give him my life. It makes me want to serve him more. It makes me want to do more for him. And it makes me want to receive everything that he has for me. All we like sheep have gone astray. How many know that's true? And we have turned each one, everyone to his own way. How many know that's still happening? And it says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How many of you know it pleased the Lord to bruise him? He laid it upon him. He, the spotless lamb who knew no sin, God laid the iniquity of us all upon him. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. How many of you know he could have opened his mouth and saved himself, and that would have caused every one of us in this room to be lost without hope and be on our way to hell. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Why is that in there twice? It's important for you to know. And so this is the thought that I kept having in the revelation that kept coming. He kept his mouth shut so you could open yours. Now listen to me. He kept his mouth shut because he could have called more than. He could have ended all of this. But he kept his mouth shut because there was such power. He could have said, I am. Because he was the great I am. And he didn't. He could have called and it could have all been over. But he decided his body was fashioned to be a lamb sacrificed. And he kept his mouth shut. There he would not say anything. Pilate said, come on, say something. I can get you out of this. He kept his mouth shut. He told Peter, put away the sword. I'm willing. I'm the lamb. I've got it settled already. He kept his mouth shut. Why did he keep his mouth shut? So you can open yours. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that he was raised from the dead. He kept his mouth shut while they draped him over a whipping post, and he took and he was beaten beyond recognition, so by his stripes you could become healed. He kept his mouth shut so he could become poor so that you could become rich. He became our peace. He kept his mouth shut so you could open yours. And I was looking at this, and this is interesting to me. Because I just want to show you, even from the Bible, there's a great illustration. The Apostle Paul, after the resurrection, Jesus, Paul's serving the Lord. And he comes into a mess. And this is in Acts chapter 22, verse number 24. So Paul has been arrested, and he's in trouble. And look at what's about to happen to Paul. I want you to see the difference in Jesus keeping his mouth shut so that we could open ours. The chief captain commanded him to be brought to the castle, and this is talking about Paul, and bade that he should be examined by what? Scourging. What is that? That's the same thing Jesus did at the whipping post. They're about to beat Paul beyond human recognition. They're about to rip his back open. They're about to take the cat of nine tails and destroy this man's body. Listen, look right here. That he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, laid him over the whipping post. So you can see him, his back is stripped. He's laying over the whipping post. His hands are, everything that happened to Jesus. Paul said to the centurion that stood by, he's about to open his mouth. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that's a Roman and uncondemned? Verse 26, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, hey, look up, looky here. Take heed that what you're doing, because this man's a Roman. Verse 28, and the chief captain came and said unto Paul, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, uh-huh. Yes, I is. I am. And the chief captain answered and said, with great sum of money I obtained my freedom. And Paul said, but I was born that way. Looky here. Here we're going to go somewhere. Jesus kept his mouth closed. Now, this is a natural law, but I want you to take this into a spiritual law. Because of what Jesus did here, Paul did not take the scourging. He did not take what the enemy had to offer. He opened his mouth and said, I'm a Roman. And because he said, and the law naturally took a hold for him, and what happened? He didn't have to be scourged. I'm telling you, but spiritually, because Jesus kept his mouth shut, you can open yours, and when the devil comes, you say, guess what? I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. Jesus is my elder brother. He's my Lord. He's my master. He already paid for that, and I ain't taking none of that. I'm not having any of that. Hallelujah. He kept his mouth shut so you can open yours. He said, he did that. And that's just what happened to the Apostle Paul. He didn't have to be scourged. He didn't have to have his back beaten. He didn't have to be opened up. He invoked his rights. And you have rights. Because Jesus kept his mouth shut, you can open yours. He is the Lamb of God. Are you thankful for the Lamb of God? Are you grateful for the Lamb of God? Revelation 13:8 says that he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. The Bible says in John's gospel, here Jesus was walking by and John the Baptist saw by revelation in John chapter 1, verse number 29. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Jesus always has been from the foundation of the earth. He appeared on the earth as the Lamb of God. He always has been, and he always will be the Lamb of God. Amen. Back there in Isaiah 50, 3 again, verses 6 and 7, it talks about him as the Lamb of God. So many places talk about him as the Lamb of God. And as I was thinking about Jesus, the Lamb of God, I was thinking what he came to this earth for, what he did for us. And I began to think about Jesus, the Lamb, destroying a lion. Or at least he thinks he's a lion. Because even the Word of God calls the devil. He says he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Right? And so what I want you to know is a lamb is not what we think of as someone who's going to become a great conqueror. We don't think of a lamb with great big teeth, and claws or whatever. How many, when you think of lamb, we think of lion food, right? And that's even throughout the Word of God. So what I need you to understand is God doesn't do things the way you and I think he would do things. Yes, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he came as a lamb to destroy a lion. Now, he came as this lamb, this spotless lamb, ready to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil." Jesus was made manifest, and he did destroy the works of the devil. Because as a lamb, he kept his mouth shut. Now, you can open yours and walk in the blessings that Jesus did. And one of those blessings is, for this reason, he came to earth to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil in your life have been destroyed. Use your authority. Use what Jesus has done and open your mouth and proclaim who you are. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. One of my favorite messages is to teach on the authority of the believer. And one of my favorite scriptures is Colossians 2:15. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it." What is it? In Jesus' death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension. Jesus made a show, Jesus, the Lamb of God, made a show of the devil openly. I can imagine on that day, as Jesus hung on the cross, and he cried out, "It is finished." Because can you imagine the devil, the demons at that time? You get the picture, you get the feeling from the Word of God that there was a little bit of celebrating going on. There was a little a note of victory for them, they thought. Because the Bible says, if they had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. What if they had known what? If they had not known that he's about to show up in hell. If they had known that he was about to destroy the devil and all the works of the devil. If they had known that all these years later that you would be here, that you would be serving the Lord, and there would be an army serving God all over the world, if they had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because see, when Jesus was keeping his mouth shut, I can imagine the devil, because you know the devil. You know how he works. He's a great big braggart. He's always telling you things he's going to do. And if he's ever telling you things he's going to do, all you know is he can't do that or he wouldn't be trying to talk you into it. And so can you imagine? He's looking at Jesus because he knows who he is. He's tempted in the wilderness and Jesus has won. And now here he's about to be crucified, and I believe the devil is excited because Jesus has got his mouth. He won't defend himself anymore. Because Jesus in the wilderness talked back. He talked back. He won the victory. But here, he's not saying nothing. He's not defending himself anymore. And so the devil's got to be going, "We got this thing. Send me one son, I defeated him in the garden. Send me another son, I'm going to get him too." So here we are. He's thinking, I got this. I got this. Jesus is not talking. The lamb's not talking. And when Jesus said, it is finished, then it was on. Because Acts chapter 2 says that he did not leave his soul in hell. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers. And then I want you to look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. After Jesus was raised from the dead, John the Revelator, a little time later, John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. Verse 18, I am he that lives. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And then he said, can I get an amen? Jesus is a preacher. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Can I get a so be it? He was preaching. And he said, can I get an amen? And he said, and I have keys. Where do you think he got those keys? He went into hell. And he destroyed your enemy in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. He went into hell. And the Bible says, and I have the keys of hell and death. The devil once had those keys. And the devil thought he was going to keep them forever. Why? Because Jesus wasn't talking. But when Jesus said, it is finished, it was on. I said, when Jesus said, it is finished, it was on. Amen. Amen. And 3 days and three nights. Hallelujah. He destroyed him. And if the devil's been destroyed, why are you letting him destroy you? Why are you acting like the devil is all that? But because Jesus the Lamb went into hell. As the Lamb of God, as the perfect sacrifice, he who knew no sin became sin. Amen. And he took stripes on his back. The Bible says he got up with healing in his wings. Amen. The resurrected one. And he did that for you and he did it for me. Glory to God. He said, I was dead, but now I'm alive. And I have the keys of death and hell. Glory to God. Then I want you to look a little further with me because so taken this morning with the Lamb of God. So taken with the Word who became flesh. So taken by the one who created everything, deciding to come to this earth for you and for me. So willing to hold his tongue. So willing to be beaten. So willing to be marred beyond human recognition. So willing to become sin and be separated from the Father so that we could be joined to the Father. So willing to give his blood so we could be redeemed. So taken with him, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth, noticed by John, behold the Lamb of God, being willing to be the Passover lamb. And he was definitely the Passover lamb. On the day of Passover, giving himself for us. And then he was raised from the dead and put his blood on the mercy seat so we could overcome. We overcome, Revelation 12:11 says, by the blood of the Lamb. And the what? He kept his mouth shut so you can open yours. We overcome by the blood and the word of our testimony. And then in the book of Revelation, you see this in Revelation 5:6 in the middle of the verse. We see, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And then I want you to see as we take this into a place of worship, Revelation. So here we have a lamb standing in the midst of them. We have Jesus as the lamb, all of heaven recognizing him as the Lamb of God. Revelation 5, verse number 11. It said, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels. All these angels he could have called. Round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000s. Times 10,000s. Well, that's 100,000 right there, right? Or is that a million? I don't know. And thousands and thousands. There's a whole lot of angels up there that he could have called. It was just a minimal amount that he was talking about. He could have called. There's more. And then, this is my point, though. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. There is one that is in heaven right now on a throne who is the Lamb of God. And there's elders and there's angels all around him. And they're saying, keep it at 12. They're saying what? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to say it together. So start with me at worthy. Are you ready? Read it with me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. Now let's really join them. And because we're sons and daughters of God, I believe the angels are about to back away from the throne because here we come. And so I want you to lift, I'm going to get some of you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to have everybody in the room is going to lift one hand to heaven. And we're going to say it again. And I know you're going to, some of you are going to have to read it, but say it with a heart of praise. See Jesus the Lamb in the throne. See him there. And you and I are going to join the elders and the angels. They're waiting on us right now. We're going to do it. Everybody go with me. Say it again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. 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 He just received that. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying. This is, so he's saying, everybody's going to be saying this. Okay, so let's do it again. Let's lift one hand to heaven. We're going to say this together. Are you ready? Go with me. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Verse 14. And the four beasts said, can I get an amen? Amen. Woo, they were happy about it. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. Amen. You just had a spiritual experience in heaven. Amen. It's very real. He always has been the Lamb of God. And the Lamb came to earth. And he died on a cross. For your sin. He took stripes on his back for your healing. He became poor so that you could become rich. He took your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He became bruised so that you could become healed. He became sin so you could become righteous. The Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. And there is a Lamb that sits on a throne. And he is worthy of glory and honor and power and might and dominion forever and ever. The Lamb of God kept his mouth shut so you could open yours in worship. In declaration, in testimony, so that you could walk in everything that he has provided for you. If you're in this room today and you've never, ever given your heart to Jesus, I've shown you from the Word of God that this Lamb loved you. Jesus loved you. He could have kept his mouth shut, but all he wanted was you. All he wanted was for you to be able to come to the Father. All he wanted was for you to be free of your sins. All he wanted was for you to be at peace. That's why there's such reverence and honor. And those sitting around you who love him, they're so grateful because their sins have been forgiven. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this room today, and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never made him the Lord of your life, I do not want you to leave this room without receiving him. The Spirit of God is in this room right now to show you the goodness of our Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you, and I can only know who I'm praying for if you'll lift your hand. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never made him the Lord of your life, I want you to lift your hand and say right now, Pastor Mark, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to make him the Lord of my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room and you once served the Lord, but you've been living in sin and you've been away from the Lord, and you're here on this Easter morning, there's no greater time to understand that God is not mad at you. Jesus loves you and he gave his life for you. But the sin that you're practicing, the sin that you're living in, is going to destroy you, because the wages of sin is death. But I've got good news. There is a Lamb. There is a Savior who has shed his blood for you. And the Bible says if you'll confess your sin, he'll be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you with his blood. The same blood that saved you. The same blood that saved you, even though you've walked away, that blood has not lost its power, and that blood will wash you clean right now. If that's you and you're in this room and you've been living in sin and you need to get some things fixed with the Lord, again, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to pray for you. Lift your hand right now in the name of Jesus. Lift your hand right now. Lift your hand right now in Jesus' name. Lift your hand right now in the name of Jesus. Lift it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not ashamed of him, and he's about to change your life. He's about to change your life. If you lifted your hand or should have lifted your hand, stand right up in front of your feet right now. I'm going to pray for you. Stand up right in front of, on your feet, right in front of your chair right now. Just go ahead. And if you lifted your hand, stand up right in front of your chair, right on your feet right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father God, I pray for these standing, those that should be standing with them. I pray, Father God, that you'll touch them. I pray, Father God, that you'll change them. I pray, Father God, that you'll give them boldness and strength in Jesus' name. If you are standing or should be standing, we're just going to do this really quick. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to come up here and face me. I'm going to pray for you real quick. Come on up, those of you who are standing. This is a great day. Come on, encourage them all. Let's give them a hand. Hallelujah. Come on up. Just come on up. Glory to God. Just come on up. Hallelujah. Hey, how are you? How you doing? How you doing, man? Good to see you. Just come on here. Just stand here and look at me. Glory. Just turn around. No, this way. This way. Look at me. Look at me. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. If you come on, if you need to come on up, we'll wait for you. If you need to come on up, wait for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you do anything except for just make sure everything's right between you and the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody in the congregation, if you just stand with me. If I was going to give you something, if I had something to give you, if I was going to give you my wallet, what'd you have to do? What do you got to do to get this? You got to take it, right? If I'm going to, and all you're doing right now is just going to take something from the Lord. And so we're just going to help you. We're family here, and we want to help you. And so everybody in the room and everybody up here, just lift one hand to heaven and repeat this from your heart. Everybody here in the room, those of you watching, hallelujah. Everybody in the room, say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead. I believe that in my heart. I accept that as truth. And because I believe that, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Savior, and I make him the Lord of my life. Amen. Now, those of you who've been once born again and walked away from God, I want you to pray this way. And so everybody in the room, one hand to heaven, everybody watching, especially someone right now watching me on TV. Come on, stop what you're doing and pray this. It'll change your life. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Father God, forgive me for the sins that I've been practicing. I renounce them, and I say, the blood of Jesus cleanses me. Father, forgive me. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And I know that it was wrong, and I renounce it, but I receive my forgiveness right now. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for receiving me to you. I love you. Jesus, I honor you. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. In Jesus' name. Amen.